Latest from ARS in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. I'm going to extend a little bit on Melanie's talk and talk about, so we're all working together on this project, and really the big part of this project is, as we're listening to questions and comments, is that there's lots of different variations of weather that can happen, conditions that can happen, management. When you get into the literature about this, there are studies on winter runoff. A lot of it's done in the 70s, early 80s, kind of observational things that Melanie, so it's looking at just a snapshot of conditions. So we really wanted to get at some of these real process-based things, what are happening in the field, and so I'll get into that a little bit, and then also combine a lot of this data with our modeling, so that as we heard in the first couple presentations, so we can really capture a lot of this variety that's going to happen out there, and try to make sense of all this, and try to create better management and policy recommendations based on all the things that can happen. So just, we've heard a lot about this, so just I can quickly move through, I think, some of these. So the key points really is with phosphorus loss. We know that manure on the soil surface can be a big source of phosphorus loss. So, you're going to get your most phosphorus loss from that manure when the phosphorus content in the manure is high and you're getting significant runoff. So, that can occur. So, when you apply the manure relative to the runoff timing is important. You're looking at times when the manure is kind of fresh out there, or the phosphorus content is still high and the runoff comes along. So the couple of mechanisms really that are going to, influence that phosphorus content of the manure is, this is not working too good. So, as that phosphorus content of the manure is decreasing, you get that less potential for phosphorus loss and runoff. So that's going to be water leaching phosphorus out of the manure, whether it's rainfall or snowmelt, or this biological assimilation of the manure into the soil over time. But that second one is a slow process. Really what's driving probably that big dynamics in the manure is just that water moving that phosphorus into the soil. So we were really interested in looking at this timing of runoff and phosphorus content in the manure, especially for winter conditions. As Melanie is saying, in our part of the world, that manure does go out in the winter in other parts of the world too, and that this spring snowmelt can really be a big time for runoff for us. So it's really the idea that manure can be out there in the winter. There's not a lot of leaching of that. There's no rain. The snow is not actively melting all the time. We're not getting this biological assimilation. So manure can just kind of be sitting there waiting for these melt events. So what's the risk of phosphorus loss from those conditions throughout the winter? And then we along with that is this idea of the second point here. This timing of manure relative to rainfalls too, maybe outside of the winter period where phosphorus content is still high, you applied it, you get a storm that comes along. What's the impact of trying to delay that application till the storm has passed? How much can that help us reduce our phosphorus loss? So really when you get into the literature, this wintertime application, this delaying manure applications, there is research out there, it's kind of limited. There's a lot of confounding results. So really looking for some of our modeling to help us give us better handle on all this variability so we can get better quantification of these things and then get into better management and policy recommendations. So as Melanie shows, this modeling that I'm going to be talking about today is part of a larger project that we have going on. So this is, we're really looking at lots of different scales here. So we have some lab scale studies going on that are looking at some of these questions that we heard this morning. What's the effect of temperature? If the manure is cold and you get the snow melt, there's less nutrients kind of just because it's cold. We're not seeing that actually in some of our lab studies. Manure placement in the snowpack, what does that have? So effect that has. So we're looking at some of these things at the lab scale. We have our field scale study. So we're trying to use all this data to make sure that we're getting consistent results we're seeing, that we're getting those into our models at the bottom here, and make sure the models are simulating these processes properly so we can look at all this variability that we've been hearing about this morning. So I'm going to be focusing in on some of the modeling we've been doing so far in the project. And our objectives were first to assess the model that we have, which is it's called SURFOS. So this model has been designed to look at dissolved phosphorus loss from manure on the surface and look at that aspect of phosphorus loss. So we wanted to assess the ability of the model to simulate properly phosphorus loss for winter conditions. And then we wanted to look at two different scenarios. A seasonal scenario where we're just looking at what's the impact of which day you applied manure. And then short term, what about if you're trying to avoid storms that come along, what's the impact of phosphorus loss from that manure management? So this is a schematic of the model. Manure is applied to the soil surface. In the model, this is important, we'll talk about a little bit. If you have a liquid manure, if it's less than 15% solids, it's got this freely draining liquid. We assume in the model based on our data that 60% of that phosphorus that you apply is going to go into the soil, not immediately available for runoff. The model is going to simulate four pools of manure phosphorus on the soil surface, non-water extractable pools, and then water extractable pools. These non-water extractable pools slowly decompose over time, and they basically mineralize, that phosphorus becomes water extractable. This is a function of temperature and manure moisture. So in the winter, this is slowed down quite a bit. We also have physical assimilation of manure into the soil slowly over time. That's also a function of temperature. That's going to be slow in the winter. These water extractable pools are the source when you get rainfall or snowmelt. That's the phosphorus that's going to leach out of the manure and either go into the soil or be lost in runoff. How much phosphorus leaches out of the soil, out of the manure, is a function of the water to solids ratio. And then how much phosphorus that does leach out actually goes to runoff is a function of the runoff to rain ratio or runoff to snowmelt ratio. That's not necessarily one-to-one. So those are two big things to think about: the water to solids ratio and then the runoff to water ratio. And those are two big processes in the model that really get back to these winter conditions and storm conditions that drive phosphorus loss from manure. So we looked at to test the model for winter conditions. We took two studies in Wisconsin. The first study was on a commercial farm that was conducted over 4 years, had three fields where liquid dairy or solid beef manure was applied to the fields. Over 4 years, manure was applied in the different years, different months, different times, but they got at least, well, every month from September to March, at some point during those 4 years, manure was applied. The second study was in north central Wisconsin. This was on one field where liquid dairy manure was applied every November. So they monitored phosphorus loss and runoff from these fields, and then we are using the model to simulate these conditions. We're using measured precipitation and runoff data from the studies. What they report is the manure application rates, times, peak contents. Our assumptions are based on how much of the phosphorus in the manure that's applied is water extractable. So we're estimating based on the measured weather, the estimating daily snow accumulation and melt using just a basic degree day method. And you kind of run into the problem that your estimates of snow melt are less than what you actually measure in runoff. So we always said that, okay, in those conditions, our snow melt is always 120% of our runoff. So then we're comparing measured and simulated phosphorus concentrations in runoff for these two studies. So some quick data, these are the measured concentrations of runoff dissolved P from the two studies. Just a few things to point out, the vertical bars are when manure was applied. So the first study where liquid manure was applied, you know, we're seeing upwards of 5 parts per million in runoff. The second study from the three different fields, we're seeing upwards of, you know, 10 to 12 parts per million as high concentrations. So you see that a lot of times the highest concentrations are just after the manure application. However, you know, in this study here, we're seeing the highest concentration is you applied in November. It's not till March you get runoff. That's when the highest concentration. So it's not this idea that we can apply in November, we don't get runoff till March, you know, it's okay. The manure is just sitting there waiting for runoff. So just to quick, you can see some of the dynamics, a lot of range and concentrations and conditions that we're simulating with the model. And these are our simulation results. So the first study, we're applying liquid manure every November. We're getting pretty good simulation results there. The second study, where we're applying liquid manure or beef manure lots of different times in the year, not as good. So when we got into the data, we saw two basic patterns. These first, these over-predictions, is when solid manure was applied to snow, and these under-predictions is when liquid manure was applied to snow. So I'll start with the under-predictions. So the model, as I said before, assumes that when you apply liquid manure, 60% of that liquid goes into the soil. So on snow, we figured that doesn't happen. It all stays in the snowpack. We saw that in the field when we applied our liquid manure. So it's, we assume that it's all on the snowpack. It's all available for runoff. So that's maybe why we were getting those under-predictions. The second, we're seeing with the solid manures, we're seeing in our lab experiments, actually, that when you get snow melt and a solid manure, that you're getting this only partial interaction of the snow melt with the solids, and so it's leaching out a lot less phosphorus. So that could be why in the solid manure, these higher points here, we're getting over predictions. We're predicting too much phosphorus coming out of the manure. So when we look at, assume those two things in the model, liquid manure stays in the snowpack and less interaction with solid manure from the snowmelt, we get much better predictions. So I think overall, you know, we're learning things with our experiments that we can get into our models, but we're feeling like the model is doing a pretty good job for our winter conditions, so that we went ahead and started to simulate some scenarios, a couple of things that we're talking about here this morning. So we took 108 site years of runoff data from Wisconsin from six different locations over about a decade. We divided the data into three groups, low, medium, and high runoff amounts. And we used our model to predict phosphorus loss and runoff, first to look at what's the impact of what day of the year you applied the manure. So for example, you know, we for our high runoff group, for example, so each of these runoff groups has about 35 years of runoff data. We say manure is applied October 1st. We run that for 35 years, look at phosphorus loss, reset the model. Now it's applied October 2nd. We keep doing that until we look at every day of the year. Here's our manure application information in that fourth line there. And then when we did all that, we said, okay, let's redo all of that. But when runoff happens, let's delay that manure application so that there's always at least a 2-day window of no runoff when you applied the manure. So if you were supposed to apply October 1st and there's runoff October 2nd, well, let's delay till after that runoff event. So we looked at delay windows of 2, 4, or 6 days. Just a quick graph on this is some of the high, medium, and runoff, low runoff groups, what the data looks like by month, both runoff in the dark blue and precipitation in the light blue. So precipitation here, it's a little, these winter months are a little lower just because we accounted for precipitation when the snowmelt actually occurred and the liquid water was interacting with the manure. So, you know, it actually snowed in December, but it didn't melt till February, so that's when we counted the precipitation. So that's why some of those spring months look a little high. But, you know, precipitation looks pretty even across the groups, but it's the runoff amounts that are varying a lot there. And you can see that, you know, in these higher groups, these springtime is really when we get a lot of this runoff. So these are our results for the model for the effect of phosphorus loss and runoff for which day of the year you applied manure. So this is like this top left graph here is for the high runoff group. So those dots, each dot represents what was the annual phosphorus loss, kilograms per hectare per year, if manure was applied that day. That's not when the runoff occurred, but that's if manure was applied that day, what was the annual loss of phosphorus for that? So we have three lines in each of these graphs. So the green line in the middle is the average for 35 years. So, you know, manure applied December 1st for 35 years. The average is about 2.5 kilograms per hectare of dissolved P loss for that application. We also have lines for what was the highest we observed over those 35 years, or what was the lowest we observed for those 35 years? Just to give you, there's a big range, right, in phosphorus loss that can occur. So there's lots of different things that drive the variability there. You can see generally, you know, winter time on the even average, and even the higher losses is a big time of phosphorus loss. So there's the dynamics there that you see. When you get into what I'm really interested in too is let's quantify some of this stuff and get at some relative risk. What is the quantify this risk of winter versus fall versus spring or some of these scenarios that we're hearing about this morning? So this table is a little bit of an effort to do that. So, you know, we have for these three runoff groups, we have the average over all those years of wintertime phosphorus loss versus non-wintertime phosphorus loss. So winter here is defined as like December 1st through March 31st, pretty big window. So can we look at, you know, what's the difference of season? So in each of those groups, it's pretty similar from 2.5 times to 3.5 times on average, more phosphorus is going to be lost in that winter window than the non-winter window. And then you look at these runoff groups. Well, if you have a high runoff potential for a field generally versus low, you know, you can be 3 to 7 times more phosphorus loss based on how much runoff you're going to get. So, you know, the putting that manure out in the place where you're not going to get a lot of runoff maybe is a lot better than, you know, avoiding winter. So the point is here is that we can start to use these tools to look at all these scenarios, really get at this quantification that can help us make sense of our recommendations and our management, and really put some numbers behind the anecdotes that we like to talk about. This is kind of a busy table. This gets at these manure delays. So we're delaying manure application if a runoff event occurs. So the first three lines there are looking at the average of these delay windows. So this is over 35 years. This is for our high runoff group data. For over 35 years, on average over those 35 years, you know, what's the impact of delaying manure application because runoff has occurred? So you can see with those numbers that you're not really, on average over 35 years, delaying manure application is not really making all that big a difference. However, you know, you get into these bottom lines more. So this is looking at, this laser pointer is not working that great. These lines down in here are when a delay actually does reduce phosphorus loss. You know, how many days of the over 35 years are we actually talking about? You know, if it's maybe 3 to 10% of the days that of manure application days that this really seemed to affect. But when you do get reductions in phosphorus loss because you avoided a storm, those reductions can be pretty significant. On average, you know, 1.5 up to 2 kilograms per hectare. And even if if you had a storm that comes along that is really going to drive a lot of your phosphorus loss for that year, and you avoid that storm, well, your reductions can be quite high, as seen in that, you know, those maximum reductions that we saw. Interestingly, we also saw that delaying a manure application can increase your phosphorus loss because you avoided a small storm that generated a little bit of runoff, and a bigger storm occurred beyond your 6-day window that really drove a lot more runoff and a lot more phosphorus loss from a fresher manure application. So again, the idea that we can start to quantify these things, get some data, get some numbers behind it, more than just a few field experiments can give us with just a snapshot of weather and management conditions. So this is really just a summary of a lot I talked about. I feel like, you know, with these good models that are developed well to look at these specific questions, we really have good tools to look at all these scenarios that we say, and we should start using them to look at this, get some quantities behind these anecdotes. You know, what we are in our current lab and field is making sure that what we want to simulate, that the model is going to do it properly. You know, in general, we're seeing winter manure application has a greater risk of phosphorus loss. And that winter time can be anywhere from December to March, so just the idea that you put manure out there in late November, it's okay, may not be correct. You know, we do see big differences where you put the manure, or shifting manure out of the winter, or fields with slower, we can quantify those trade-offs. One of the big things that's been coming out of this is really, you know, that weather will determine, even though a site may have a low potential for runoff, you can get weather that comes along that really makes it a bad runoff year, even for a site like that. So weather can really determine whether or not a site tends towards or a high or low of its potential. Delaying manure application, on average, over 35 years, I'm still struggling a little bit with this, what all that means. We're not seeing, on average, long term, that it's really all that big of an effect. But if you can avoid a storm, for sure do it, because it can have an impact on a big impact on any given year. The number of opportunities that producers might have to actively use that delay mechanism as a way to reduce phosphorus loss may be somewhat limited. So I'd be glad to take questions, if there are any.
Probably just time for one question.
Yeah. Right, well, it does predict phosphorus leaching down through the profile, even from the manure into the profile. So you'd have to couple this with a subsurface transport hydrology, and you'd have to look at source there, and you know what's driving the concentrations that you might see. You know, manure on the surface, is that driving some of this preferential flow things, or how much phosphorus is coming out of the soil? I'd have some good ideas with that. This model isn't doing that. Really, this was designed to be put these equations into models like SWOT, APEX. So it does operate on its own because we can look at things like this. But it really is designed. That's why it doesn't do everything, because we want to drop it into models that are doing these other things. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.